Let's say there's a hot new startup company that caught your attention and you're thinking you might want to invest a little money in it. The law might not let you unless you're very wealthy. Congress is now considering loosening those investment rules, allowing more Americans to invest in companies before they go public. But the legislation is bogged down in the Senate over concerns that these changes might open the door to investment fraud. And NPR's Steve Henn has a report.
Not just anybody is allowed to invest in the next hot Silicon Valley startup. For now, these deals are restricted to, quote, accredited investors. Tim Harris is a partner at Morrison & Foerster in Silicon Valley.
In very general terms, an accredited investor is a very wealthy person. And in this country, the way the rules are written, it's a person with $1 million net worth.
And that's excluding your house. Harris says for years, government rules designed to protect the little guys have prevented most people from taking part in the kinds of private investments that have made so many people here in Silicon Valley rich. Harris helps Silicon Valley startups close deals and raise cash.
So how it plays out is folks will come to us and say, hey, we're the three founders of this company. We each want to put in some of our own money, but we also have friends.
Of course, entrepreneurs can invest in their own businesses, but if friends or family members they want to bring along aren't wealthy enough to be accredited, they're cut out of the deal. So some here have been pushing Congress to change the rules and allow what they call crowdfunding.
Yeah, you know, it's something that anyone can do.
Bill Clark is CEO of MicroVentures. He says crowdfunding would allow companies to raise capital through social networks like Facebook and Twitter and collect hundreds, even thousands of small investments from pretty much anybody.
They're allowing a startup to raise money by themselves that way. And then they're also allowing anyone to open up a website to post deals.
Advocates of this idea say it could unleash a torrent of money for thousands of creative new companies. They call it a digital Kickstarter for entrepreneurs. Bill Clark at MicroVentures has been trying to do this kind of thing for a couple of years, working within existing laws. He's a registered broker-dealer. His books are audited.
You know, we have to do due diligence and fraud checks.
He can't offer his deals to just anyone. And MicroVentures also can't advertise its deals in any way. But the Jobs Act being debated in the Senate could change all of that. It could open up this business of lining up investors to almost anyone with a website.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely exploring it. And it's been a subject that we've talked about for a while.
Dana Severson is co-founder of Wahooly. His site is named after the Wahoo.
And it's the fastest fish in the world, and it swims in schools. We're really based on collaboration and crowds, and you know, we're accelerating the growth of startups.
To become a member of Wahooly, you have to have a big online following. And Wahooly's members can earn stock in startups by promoting those companies online. Ethics professors might call this a conflict of interest. Severson sees it as an opportunity. And soon, he says, members, or Wahoos, may be able to invest their own money in the startups they're promoting. Investor advocates are worried that unless there's oversight of these kinds of new online stock markets for startups, there could be some enormous disasters. Surprisingly, Severson agrees.
With all this unregulated, unprotected, you know, investment opportunities out there, it's ripe for fraud.
And that made me wonder, what exactly eats a Wahoo?
That's a great question. I don't know. A shark?
And while it turns out that the Wahoo doesn't actually swim in schools and is, in fact, not the fastest fish in the sea, there is one fact Severson did get right. Wahoos are eaten by sharks. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.